That's an honest testimony. He's not trying to build himself up or his reputation. He's not trying to sell any books. He's saying, look, man, we prayed for people for 20 years that had stroke, never saw anybody healed. But then I heard about this testimony. It just stirred something inside of me. And God was able to give me the grace to have a little bit more faith. And the next thing you know, in 24 hours from that time, we prayed and saw 3 stroke victims healed. That's honest. I never saw an AIDS victim healed until just recently. And then we saw 3 in 1 year. I never saw a paraplegic healed until just 2 years ago. I saw my first deaf person healed about 6 years ago. And now, in 1 month, we saw 80 deaf healed. It was more than 25 years. How many people are not yet 25 years old? Stand up. Mark. Yeah. Okay, they prayed longer than you've been alive without results for this next thing I'm about to mention. If they started when you were born, they would still be praying today without any results. Is that a long time? Yeah. Okay, thanks. You can sit down. Heather's just like, please, please. Okay, sit down. It was more than 25 years before we saw the first blind person healed. Was that a long time? But, I love that. But in 1 month last year, we saw 20 blind healed. Is there anybody in this place that wants to live to see the day where your prayer for a blind person heals their eyes? I want to cry when I think about that. In 1 month last year, we saw 20 blind healed. I only prayed for a couple of them. Our ministry team prayed for the rest. The interns, the rookies. Wow. It's not a method. It's a journey. Let that sink in. It's not a method. It's a journey. It's a journey of going from glory to glory and greater degrees of faith. It's a journey of coming to know Jesus in all of his fullness, from glory to glory to glory to glory. He calls us to walk with him and let him show us great and mighty things we did not know. It's not a technique. It's not a method. It's a journey of knowing Christ, following him, and allowing our lives to be flooded with the glory of his presence and power. And that brings me to my last point, and that is this, and I'll try to wrap this up quickly, that miracles are often not an end in themselves. Yes, I'm delighted for Debbie's knees. I think when the day comes that she is absolutely pain-free, we're all going to be dancing for our friend. But I tell you what, as glorious and beautiful as that is, and it is absolutely glorious, I don't want to take anything away from that at all. And I want to see more miracles in my future than I ever have in my past. I'm ready. But I tell you, as glorious as they are not an end in themselves, but rather they're designed to enable us above all things to have this, and that is a heart for Jesus. They point to him. One day he's coming back anyway to usher in eternity. And you know, for the next bazillion, trillion, million, quadrillion years into eternity, there will be no sick people ever anywhere. We're coming to a place where that will be gone completely. But for now, in the meantime, while there are, those healings that God does are designed not only to bless those people and give them relief and edify them, but they are designed to give us who see and us who pray a heart for the Jesus who in fact healed them because of his compassion and love and tender mercy, and because he has the power to do it. Now, Mark doesn't mention this. It's only in the Gospel of John. You have to kind of read through all the whole thing to find these things or have a good search engine software. But anyway, Mark doesn't mention this, but the Gospel of John, when he's talking about this miracle, it says that the very next day, Jesus and the 12 went by boat back to Capernaum, which was his hometown then, not Nazareth anymore. And these folks who were at this deserted place, Bethsaida, followed him, tracked him down. And they caught up to him, and they were so stoked that Jesus had given them free bread and fish, you know. They caught up, and they were thinking, we have found the mother lode, boys. I ain't never going hungry again. Here he is. Did you bring your basket? Did you bring your backpack? Did you bring your trailer? Just pull it up around the back. They caught up to him and they said, so God, or Lord, you know, where you been? When did you get here? And this fascinating conversation happens. This is what happens. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for labor for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, all right, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? In other words, you want us to labor for that? Okay, how shall we labor? What kind of works are we going to do? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in, trust in, have faith in, depend upon, and love, that you believe in him who he has sent. This blows my mind. Therefore they said to him, well, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? Hello? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You see where they're going with this. What sign are you going to give? I got the trailer out back, Jesus. I got two baskets on my hips and a backpack on my back. What sign? Moses gave them bread, gave them manna every day. They gave him bread from heaven. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What Jesus was saying to them is, you know, miracles are great, and they can relieve a lot of pain, they can restore function, they can make you feel good, they can bless you and edify you. But only one thing can satisfy the deepest need and longing of your soul, and that is Jesus Christ himself. He says, I am that bread of life. Man, feast on me. Fill up on me. Eat my bread. Only Christ can give us that new life that imparts to us the very life of God and causes us to be born again. Only Jesus can do that. He is eternal life because he said the essence of eternal life is knowing him, loving him, following him, fellowshipping with him. Now, you know, whenever I've thought about this verse, I've thought of it in terms of salvation. This is one of the famous seven sayings of John in my theology book. You know, this is how you get saved, you come to Jesus. And guess what? It's true. This is how you get saved, you come to Jesus. And he gives you eternal life. His blood washes away your sin. His spirit gives you new life and a new heart inside. And if you want to call this a salvation passage, it is. Absolutely it is. I absolutely agree. But you know, something jumped out at me last night, and I'll finish with this. You notice it doesn't say, he who has come to me. It doesn't say, he who came to me, he who has come to me will never hunger, and he who has believed in me shall never thirst. What does it say? He who comes to me. That's a continual action. He who believes in me shall never thirst. So it's not just, well, one day back in 1980, I went down to the altar at the Jimmy Swagger Crusade and said the sinner's prayer. It's he who comes to me. In other words, when I am hungry inside, when I need sustenance in my spirit, when I have been beat down by the things of life and my soul needs recharging, I need to be revitalized and I am hungry. When every time I go to Jesus, whenever I come to him, I can go with boldness and confidence that he will never send me away hungry. Whenever I come to him, he fills me afresh. He floods my soul with glory, and I can come to him in absolute assurance that when I cry out to my Lord and Savior Jesus, he is going to receive me, he is going to meet me, and he is going to fill me with him. And nothing in this world can satisfy like him. Whenever I come to him, I never walk away hungry. I always come away from that filled. Praise God. Is there anybody that's hungry in here today? Oh. I know you and Missy are because you just got back from the kitchen. You've been probably smelling that stuff. Is there anybody hungry in here today? Is there anybody hungry for the bread of life in here today? Did anybody come in just a little bit weak, just a little bit beat up, just a little bit hurting and confused and vulnerable and scared and prone to wander? Is there anybody who needs a shepherd who can feed your soul with something that will cause you to not hunger anymore? Is there anybody that says, Jesus, I'm hungry today for the bread that you and only you can give? Praise God. Well, if you're hungry, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Man, that tastes good to my soul. Man. I'll tell you what. We're going to close out with worship song. We've got food out there. And if you're like physically hungry, we fill up, buddy. We got all you can eat. Help yourself. We're going to feed you. But if you want to hang out and just feed on the bread of life for a couple minutes while we do this song, just come to the Lord. And if you would like prayer, just come forward up here. And we would love to pray with you and go to the Lord with you for whatever needs you have. But I tell you what, if you just want to stand in the presence of God and eat that bread from heaven and let him fill your soul, I would just invite you to take a few minutes now and just feast on Jesus. Amen.